Welcome to Good Intentions, the podcast where we explore the world around us to find meaning and intention in what we do. I'm Kelly Harvard, and I'm on a mission to spread positive stories that will inspire you to live a more meaningful and connected life. What have I achieved is a question we all ask ourselves as we progress through the valleys and hills of our lives. Whereas this was once a cliched midlife crisis question, it now seems to be coming up earlier and earlier. We can compare ourselves so much more readily to one another on social media. And so this comparison steals our joy and makes us question our progression. Are we doing enough? Progressing enough? Are we enough? So that's the self-analysis element. Then throw in the fact that as a society, our perception of achievement can feel at odds with a spiritual life. We glorify financial and professional success above all other. We consciously and unconsciously judge and benchmark on the material, and we idolise those who rise to the top of business. And whilst I feel there's place for progression and growth, of course there is. I've always felt uncomfortable with these societal frameworks of achievement. Is there a way to measure ourselves beyond the typical success factors? Instead of chasing an unattainable dream of success, might we have had it all along? In this episode of Good Intentions, I revisit conversations with many of my incredible guests to explore the subject of achievement, to discover how they benchmark their lives and what they consider to be their greatest achievement. The full interviews with these talented writers, speakers, and thought leaders can all be found in the Good Intentions podcast, along with other insightful conversations. Dr. Saliha Afridi, clinical psychologist, founder and managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia.
I would say the relationships that I have with my family. I'm divorced, or I was divorced, and I got remarried. And before I got divorced, everybody and their mother, including my mother, were just, I mean, really, I went through a period of complete sort of being shunned, I would say, by everyone. And the reason why they were saying is that you have three kids and they will come from a broken home. And I said, no, they're going to come from two homes. It's not going to be broken. This one is whole and that one is whole. It's just going to be two of them.
Yeah.
So I said, there's no way that everything I do with love, and I can't do this with love. There's just no way that's going to happen. And so that's all I focused on, and that's all I prayed about, and that's all I connected with, is that this is going to happen with love. And my ex-husband and him and I, it was his birthday and surprise party, and like, you know, we are friends, and we both said that, no, like whatever issue you have, we're going to sort it out behind the door. And in front of the kids, it's going to be that
United.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about this. We're going to get through this. It's just going to be a little bit different than what most people have or other people have. But it's not going to be different in the way it feels. It's just going to be a little bit different in the way it looks.
Logistically, maybe. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so people thought I was delusional. They thought it's never going to happen. And, you know, my ex-husband went through a period where he was very angry and very upset. And I just said, no, I will not engage with this. And he's just angry and hurt and whatever. And so I kept steady on the hold of love. And this is where the 40 rules of love came in. And she was going through something similar. And, you know, so for me, it was really just stay connected to the love. And then time went on and our relationship healed and we came back stronger, I would say. We have a relationship that probably is more connected now than it was when we were married. He recently remarried, and I feel connected to his wife. He feels connected to my husband. When we have birthday parties, like everyone comes together. My father and my mother love my ex, and they love my husband now. So for me, I think this was it. For me, that healing my relationships with my family and knowing that I have good relationships with my brother and sisters, which they had their difficult times too, but then like holding on to the love and working through that, and knowing that I have these friends that, you know, we've had our also issues. So working through the issues with love and coming to a place where I can say that I have good relationships with the people in my life, I think that's probably the greatest achievement I've had.
Emily Jacob, founder of Stella and the Stars,
cliche thing, my family. Yeah, my family. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing that includes the family, includes still being here. I mean, with everything that I went through, I probably, you know, I consider myself really lucky to
overcome
it. Yeah, still be a functioning human being that can actually raise other human beings is an achievement in itself. Yeah, I'm celebrating 15 years with my husband this month. Yeah.
15?
I think that's a big achievement.
That is incredible.
Working on a marriage, working on a relationship for 15 years and not feel like it's a chore, feeling it's an absolute dream and pleasure, you know, every day, but 90% of the days, I think it's
something to be proud of. That's amazing.
It's a lot of work. It's not...
It is,
you know, you just think like you get married and that's it. And it's an incredible amount of work on yourself, on how you deal with your partner and what, you know, compromising and giving in. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff. So I think 15 years with a life partner is something I'm
incredible. Well done.
Very proud of that we've achieved. But yeah, the kids, I mean, who knew? My standards of motherhood was so low that it never occurred to me that this would be my life.
Jad Tobaly, CEO and founder of Ideals.
My wife is expecting. We're expecting a daughter. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very exciting for us. Yeah.
First teaching?
December.
Christmas baby.
And if I raise her to be happy and healthy, that would be my greatest achievement.
That's not to be underestimated at all.
More than whatever I can build financially or tangibly.
I guess sure
less shallow of a reply.
You've got to, I mean, with all the experiences that you've had in this beautiful business that you've built.
I guess, you know, build it for something as well. I mean, Ideals' success is symbiotic with my success. And Ideals' success would ensure a better life or quality of life for my family, my wife. So in a way, what I'm doing is for that as well.
Absolutely.
It's not to buy the cars. These are fun, but there's more to it.
Akanksha Tangri, founder of Reset.
Oh, well, that's a tough question. At this point in life, I think it would be the fact that I got Reset off the ground in 8 months. And we've touched lives. We've made an impact in our own small way. I think that would be my greatest achievement and making my parents proud. My parents are very proud of Reset and they read every article. And they share it with all their friends. So I think that I'd say is my biggest achievement.
Isabel Abelhoul, founder of the Emirates Literature Festival.
My five children. The fact that I have been a mother to five amazing human beings and that I have been able to be part of their lives and I'm still very much part of their lives. I think that's my greatest achievement. What did I want to be when I was a little girl? You haven't asked me that. So I wanted to grow up, get married and have children. So that was my ambition and I've certainly done that. And I do also wonder for girls now whether you would not be allowed to have that kind of ambition. That was my ambition. And, you know, it was out of having children that everything else grew because I wanted them to have experiences that maybe were not available. So, you know, that has always been a driving force. And I'm incredibly lucky that I have such good relationships with all of my children who are all very different. And we get on really well. You sort of, as adults, you have a little bit of a different relationship with them, but you're still their mother. So that's a lovely thing. Nothing is ever going to top that. Every time I gave birth, I thought I'd conquered Everest, let me tell you.
Leila Razageya, executive coach.
Setting up Compass 8 years ago. That, to me, is my biggest achievement so far. The reason being, by the time I left, I had spent 18 years in a corporate environment between Algeria, UK, and here. And leaving all that behind and embarking on an entrepreneurship journey, which I had never experienced before, not even knowing what it was, and not having the financial security that we don't know when we're going to land the first contract. I don't know when I'm going to have a salary. I don't have many savings because the savings I had led to setting up the business. I look back and I go, that was the biggest risk I had taken. You know, one of the biggest risks, other risks in my life, but to actually leave a secure job with very high perks and to leave all that behind and start from scratch in the most challenging environment. 2013 was a very challenging environment business-wise, and setting up that and no idea how to do it, where none of us was an entrepreneur. So that, when I look back, I go, wow, that is something.
Gaj Ravichandra, international career path strategist and executive coach.
I would say having children is something that it floors me every time I think about it. Even just from a biological perspective to a spiritual perspective, I'm not a very religious person, but from a spiritual perspective, the fact that after I leave this physical body, there is a part of me that sits inside my girls and is going to live on floors me. And I remember listening to this podcast from this guy who wrote Tuesdays with Maury.
Oh, yes, Mitch Albom. He came to the Lit Fest, the Emirates Lit Fest last year. He's an incredible guy. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was one of the questions that he asked Maury. And Maury had this beautiful way of articulating, should he have kids or not? Right. That was the question that was posed to him. I remember his answer was so beautiful. It was just, you don't have to have kids, right, to be happy. That's just the way the world is. But you shouldn't then regret not being able to have this sense that the world is going to have a piece of you after you leave. And it was something along those words. I'm probably paraphrasing terribly there, but it was a beautiful way of just talking about that. And I think the idea that, I could leave something behind, hopefully in a positive sense, for the world to have, falls of me. And I think that will be greater than any achievement, that I could, have, from a constructive sense, building something or whatever it might be. So anyway, that's just my initial thought.
Shireen Kutob, clarity coach and mental health and corporate wellness advocate.
Honestly, for me, and I know it might sound kind of the whole sort of corny thing, but really with my girls, for me, it's changing the relationship between myself and them, because there's a lot of ancestral historic patterns that I've had to undo, from my own childhood, from my own kind of the way I was parented, the way I thought parenting should be. And just for them to see them at such a young age embracing their, not just their uniqueness, but just understanding the mind a bit more, understanding energy and just tuning into their bodies and, being able to see that kind of come alive in them, I think would be, if I can say biggest achievement. So I think all the worldly stuff, it's nice, it's glamorous. I don't think that's what my soul came here to really do. I think with these, especially these two girls, I think there was definitely a soul mission. There was definitely something that I needed to rewrite. It's a part of history, something that they needed to learn and see in actual example. Because especially with my older one, she remembers when she was younger. I mean, those were the stressful years. I was going through anxiety. And so she has seen the shift. She's definitely seen the playful side come out. She's, sometimes she just looks at me, she's like, I'm so happy you're you now. And that for me is my younger one is experienced more of that me, but just to see that they have seen that shift, and they can see that we can change. And even if we're a grown up, it doesn't mean we have all the answers.
Karen Osman, best-selling author and writing coach.
It's not an easy question, is it? Because I don't tend to think much about it. I suppose personally, it would be my children. I learn a lot from them every day. And it still sort of blows my mind. They're living, breathing little people. And I think professionally, I would say, living as an expat in different countries and being able to make a living from a job that is really my passion. I think a lot of people don't always feel they can do that. That's probably something that I'm proud of to be able to say that I do. And, when I say I'm an author, it still gives me a thrill. So.
Mimi Nicklin, best-selling author and empathy advocate.
Probably not enough, but if I had to say, I would say my daughter for sure. I mean, my daughter and then my book. I think that, she's my best friend. She's only four, but she's... I just don't know how I would do it without her. We're really exploring this world together and I learned so much from her. I learned so much things we've spoken about today and patience and wisdom and how to view the world. And just before I got on this meeting with you, she's out with another lady that's looking after her. And she sent me a video of her picking up birds, little tiny birds. And she's sitting on this huge stone, just for your listeners to imagine. She's sitting on this massive stone in the middle of the Sri Lankan jungle, holding this little tiny bird. It's like a quail or something. and she's stroking it and she's talking to it, you know, oh, gosh knows what she's telling it. You know, I just watch her with such grace and just connection to nature. She doesn't have any barriers. She's only four, of course, but, you know, I learned so much from her. So she's definitely my greatest achievement, if our children can be our greatest achievements. But after family, for sure, my book, because it changed my life. And I believe from what other people have told me that it has impacted, if not changed, other people's lives as well. So yeah, sometimes I do look back and wonder how. People ask me all the time, how did you fit it in? I can't really remember. I'm like, I don't know. I think I did it at night. I'm not really sure. I don't think I slept for 2 years. But yeah, you know, in the end, I guess you reap what you sow.
Thanks so much for listening to the Good Intentions podcast. You can find links to issues and to books that we discussed in the show notes, and you can look for the podcast on Instagram. It's Good Intentions UAE. Please do make sure you subscribe to the podcast, and if you enjoyed this conversation, I'd so appreciate a review on whatever platform you're using. It helps more people find out about the podcast. See you next time.